This was one of the most challenging meditations I ever practiced. I was being pulled incessantly toward the noise of my surroundings, dog barking, nearby construction, traffic, sirens, etc. The more I tried to go to and feel the unknown, the louder the noises became. I became agitated and irritated, and I felt exhausted by the experience. Do you have any tips? I'm sorry to hear you had such a kind of frustrating and exhausting meditation. You know, it's not probably the meditations most of us are hoping for, or, you know, it's not a sign that we're like necessarily doing it just right or whatever, but it's an organic part of the process of learning to do this incredibly challenging thing we're inviting you to do, is that sometimes it shows up just like that. So here's a couple tips, if you will, or, you know, let's explore this experience a little bit. So you're saying, here you were, the way you described your attempt to practice, you said, I was trying to go to and feel the unknown. You said, the more I tried to go to and feel the unknown, the louder the noises became, the more agitating and irritating it all was. So here's a question. Like, all the noise, all the kind of background noise that we could possibly experience, how could we do this practice no matter what chaos was going on around us? And this is, it's important because, you know, when we think about doing meditation and the, like, if all of us took a moment and said, well, what would be the ideal environment for doing meditation? We all probably have some version of, you know, I'm sitting, you know, next to a peaceful, quiet pond in the woods, and the temperature's just right, and it's perfectly still. There's no sound, no bugs flying around me, no motor noise in the distance. It's just stillness. Or we're sitting in a temple, and it's perfectly quiet. Or we're sitting in our own little meditation room, and there's no noise, and we're just perfectly comfortable. And so to some degree, that's true, right? If the more ideal kind of quiet, peaceful, temperate, you know, environment we can have, and we've had a good night's sleep, so we're well rested, and we're well fed, and our body feels good, and we're in a comfortable posture, so there's comfort, and there's no pain or agitation, and emotionally we haven't had an upsetting week, so there's not a lot of upsetting emotions around. Like, you know, I'm describing the outer environment and the inner environment, and it's all just right. Now, that's desirable. I'm not going to pretend that that's somehow not desirable. That's a great, you know, that you might have some really beautiful, deep, you know, profound meditations with all of everything working like that, you know, inner and outer, and that's wonderful. And if we can make that happen, that's a great thing. But very often, that's not going to be the context in which we're meditating, is it? And, you know, and sometimes we're going to be sitting in Santa Monica, and there's going to be all manner of noise and chaos going on around us. I mean, I remember a retreat I was leading, a live retreat once at a retreat center, and we were in the middle of our evening practice session, and somehow their fire alarm system at the retreat center got malfunctioned, and all, you know, for the next hour, there was just the alarms kept going off, and, you know, and then they would come and tell us, oh, we're fixing it, and then they would stop, and then we'd all be in meditation again, and then 10 minutes later it would all go off again, and we had to evacuate the room a couple times just as a safety measure, even though they knew it was, anyway, on and on. And we, you know, had to laugh and work with this totally chaotic night and still find a way to meditate. And there was a particularly funny moment where the part of their alarm system was a little intercom that would actually speak words. And it came on and it said, and this was about the fifth round of malfunction. And then it came on, we're all meditating, and it said, may I have your attention, please? And I spontaneously shouted out, no, you may not. And we all laughed. But that was, we were basically practicing how to not give our attention to this chaos that was surrounding us. It was kind of a well-timed comic moment, but also a profound one for the meditation, because we had to really learn, can I meditate even amidst all this external and that at that time chaos, which also sometimes is internal chaos. And so what might we do with all that noise? Because certainly it seems to be a distraction, right? As you're saying, it pulls our attention toward it. You know, all that, the siren goes off, our attention goes, oh, I wonder if that person's okay. I wonder what's going on. You know, the dog barking, I wish that dog would be quiet. My darn neighbor with that dog, why don't they keep their dog quiet? On and on, right? And it pulls our attention, it triggers us. So how could we rest in the unknown? How could we rest in the unknown, even with a whole bunch of disturbing noises going on? That's maybe the practice question for all of us right now. And I think it brings up the real essence of this, which is, are those noises somehow separate from the unknown that we're pointing to? Is it like, does this dimension of who we are somehow, is it separate from everything that arises in this world? Or in fact, can we rest in the unknown? Can we simply sit here not needing to know and more interested in what we don't, you know, in what's beyond the mind than in what arises in the mind? And just sitting here amidst all the chaos of life, inner and outer, but with no need to know anything and no compulsion to move toward those things. And even if our attention gets distracted again and again by things happening outside us beyond our control, on a fundamental level, even that we're not letting disturb us. Even the distraction we're not making a problem out of. We don't conclude that it shouldn't be here, and we don't conclude that we should be better at concentrating on the practice. We just keep being interested in the unknown. We keep renouncing the need to figure something out, to know something, to have an angle, a take, to get somewhere other than where we are. See, in my experience, it's possible to fully give ourselves to this regardless of what's going on around us, even if it might be, in some ways, you could say, more challenging to do so. I would guess that part of the reason you got kind of tied in knots and exhausted by the end was that you had a conclusion that you should be having a different experience than you were having, and that somehow you should be able to not be bothered by the noises and not be distracted by them. And so every time you got distracted, you kind of drew a conclusion and said, oh, I shouldn't be getting distracted. I'm not doing the practice. And the exhaustion, I'm guessing, came from the kind of wrestling with yourself as opposed to maybe moving into an ever more easeful relationship to all that chaos, where it was like, I don't care if the whole world's in chaos around me. I am meditating and I'm just going to be at ease with it and not be distracted and not get involved. And even if I'm getting distracted, I'm not going to make a problem out of that or can draw any conclusions about that. I'm just going to sit here and be innocent, free from ideas.